I was thinking as I was preparing for this message that my wife and I, we've been married for 24 years. Here's a picture of my wife, Tammy, and I. We get along great. We're not the kind of people that fight. In fact, we're really, it's kind of rare if we actually have a fight. But there's a telltale sign that you know that we're going to get into a little scuffle. We're going to have a vibrant communication. And it happens every time we get lost when we're driving. And I remember thinking about a time that we had not too long ago. We were driving down to Lebanon, Ohio, which is just north of Cincinnati, to visit some friends of ours who had moved into a new house, and they were in a new building community. So that wasn't really on the map. We thought we knew where we were going, and we were driving down. It was late. It was dark, and we kept missing the road because our GPS just wasn't picking it up. And so at one point, Tammy has her GPS. I have my GPS, and they're both giving us different directions, and we're literally looking at each other, and we're just starting to become vibrantly communicative towards each other, saying, no, I think I know where we're going. I think I know where we're going. And then in the back, my daughter yells, are we lost? Now, listen. I regret that day because then I think we traumatized her because when we would start driving at night, my daughter would always say, hey, Daddy, are we lost? I'd say, no, we're not lost. I bring it up because we're in this series called Detours. And what we're talking about in this series, Detours, is that how God can use our wrong turns to get us to the right place. This series, that one of the things about what we're going to look at today is that, all of us have felt lost at times. Isn't it true that maybe when it comes to your finances or it comes to your relationships or it comes to your career path or maybe your direction in life, and oftentimes for your own faith, there are times when we just feel lost, like we don't know where we're going. I think that's a normal feeling that everyone has experienced. And when it comes to your faith, the reality is that oftentimes the reason we feel lost or wonder, where are you, God? What's going on? Is that things happen to us in life. There are times when it just feels like we're off course. There are other times when we take wrong turns. We make decisions that kind of take us away from the path that maybe God wants for us. And it's usually in those times when we start to wonder and question, God, where are you? How can these things around me be happening? What is your purpose in all this? What is your plan? And where are you taking us? There's a sense of overwhelming need for God in moments when we just feel like we don't know where to turn. That's what we're going to look at today, and in this series, we're going to look at the two sons of Jacob, Joseph and Judah, and kind of look at their life and how they live and learn some things from their life to understand, what it means when how God can use our detours to get us to the right place. But I have to ask you this question. What if I told you that God could use your wrong turns and your detours in life to actually get you to where he's wanted you to be the whole time, that God has a purpose in that? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. If you go there to lpguest.com and follow along in the notes, we're going to end up turning to Genesis chapter 37 and walk through some things. And the first thing I want to share with you is that we all want to be on the right path. So this passage that we're looking at, I need to back up a little bit and share Genesis chapter 15. In context, here's what's happened. Remember all the way back to Noah. Right? God started over with the family of Noah, and then the generations continued to grow and expand, and people, were all over the earth. And he chose a man, Abraham, because of Abraham's faith, to be the one that he was going to be, the God of Abraham and the God of Abraham's family and offspring, and they would be his people. And that way he would show the rest of the world who he is. God was going to reveal himself through this nation of people. More so, the people would be blessed and they would become a blessing to the rest of the nations. All the world would be blessed because of the people of Israel. The problem was Abraham didn't have any offspring. And so he's asking God, what am I supposed to do? And God made a promise to him. Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. It says, then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. So what he's saying to Abraham is that the people that are his offspring will eventually end up for 400 years in some type of oppression in another country. But there they will grow, and when they finally leave and go into the land, they will have lots of possessions. And We know that's exactly what happened. If you remember the story that, you know, eventually the Israelites ended up in slavery in Egypt, and it was Moses that God sent as a deliverer that brought them out. And by the time they came out, God had judged Egypt, and the people of Egypt have given a lot of wealth away to Israel to go into the new land. So here they are. This people has now grown. They're able to become a nation because there's so many of them, and they're able to go because they have the wealth, and they have God going in front of them. I mean, it's really what happened. God made a promise, and it happens, but what happens in the meantime? And so we're going to look at these two brothers and fast forward a little bit to chapter 37. Here's what's happened. Is that Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. One of his sons was Judah, and a younger son was Joseph. Joseph was his favorite son. You may recall, if you've read in scripture in the past, that he made Joseph this in beautiful, multicolored tunic. And that was the kind of tunic that someone would wear that kind of states that they're royalty. You know, they're not a laborer. They are someone of importance. And the rest of his brothers really were jealous of Joseph because he was so favored by his dad. And they really didn't like him. And then God did something to Joseph to really let him know that he was with him. Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 37, starting in verse 5. It says, now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brothers said to him, are you indeed going to reign over us? Are you indeed going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And then he dreamed another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Now remember, Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph is kind of this favored son, and the brothers are jealous of him. God gives Joseph these dreams to let him know that I am with you and I have a plan for your life, and one day you're going to rise up to prominence over the rest of your brothers and your own family. Now, Joseph, you know, tells his brothers, which you have to wonder as a 17-year-old if that was a very smart thing to do when they're already jealous of you, right? It's possible that he was just excited about it. It's possible he was bragging. But in either case, these guys really did not like him. They were angry at him and jealous at him. But think about Joseph for a second. Joseph, God was revealing himself to Joseph that he had a plan. And when he tells his dad, if you remember also in the story of Jacob, that Jacob also received a dream where God appeared to him and showed him, you know, the ladder, that there's a connection between us and God, and there are angels going up and down this ladder. That's a recognition that God wants relationship with us. So he's going, well, maybe there's something to this with my son Joseph. Now, I was thinking about how, you know, when it comes to dreams, wouldn't it be great if God would give us dreams, if he would let us know that he's with us? I mean, wouldn't it be helpful if we could look up in the sky and see, you know, the clouds line up and say, this is the direction you're supposed to go. These are the decisions you need to do. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be helpful? I got to tell you, I've been following Christ intently for about 30 years. You know, I have made a decision in my life to follow Christ and to really want to serve him and honor him with my life for 30 years. And I got to tell you something, in 30 years, I've had one dream that I know was from God, just one. Now, it's possible I've had others and I'm just not aware of it, but I know for sure one dream in 30 years. Let me explain. At the time, I was serving at another church with another co-pastor, and the night I was getting ready to go to bed and I started praying. I said, God, speak to me. You know, let me know that you're with me. Speak to me, help me to understand and be aware of it. And you know, if you wanna speak to me tonight, wake me up or speak to me in a dream, I'm all ears, God, just speak to me. That night, I started having a dream about 3 a.m. And in the dream, God was speaking to me. And God said to me these words, are you going to be about what I called you to be about, or are you going to be about something else? So I start repeating it in my dream over and over again. And I must have been saying out loud because I woke myself up because I could hear it. And as I woke up, I'm saying it out loud. I'm repeating these words. Are you going to be about what I called you to be about, or are you going to be about something else? So it's like 3 a.m., you know, I'm kind of tired. I stumble to the bathroom and I'm repeating these words. I come back and I'm so tired and groggy. I said, God, if you want me to remember this, if this is important, just remind me in the morning. I'm going to bed. So I went back to bed. I didn't think anything of it. I woke up the next day. I went to go have a meeting with my co-pastor. I'm sitting in the meeting, and he's talking about how, as a church, we need to be a church that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that as we lean into God, we need to sense where he's leading us and follow him. I said, can I tell you something? Last night, I had this dream where I'm just praying for God to speak to me and to lead me, and I had this dream, and he spoke to me these words. He said, are you going to be about what I called you to be about, or are you going to be about something else? The guy looked at me, and his face turns white. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm praying this morning, and I literally felt like God spoke to me those words, and I wrote them down in my journal. I was like, no way. But I'm thinking, 30 years I've been following Christ. I've had one dream, and it wasn't even for me. It was for someone else. Here's the thing. Here's the reality. We all want to know that God is with us. We want to know that we're on the right path. And we believe if we just had these signs, or maybe if God would handwrite a scroll and send it to us, say, here's what I need you to do, or if it was lined up in the clouds. But the reality is that we are supposed to follow God by faith. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to trust in him and follow him by faith. Can I tell you, if you're struggling with what it means to be on the right path, let me help you with something I've learned over the years of following Christ. You and I, we have a tendency to think of our life as, here's what I want to do. I have a plan. We almost say, this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I'm passionate about. This is the direction I'm heading. God, will you please bless that? I got to tell you, it's an easy way to get off course. A better thing to start asking God for, say, God, help me know your path. Help me discern the path you want for me. It's a subtle shift, but it's the difference between saying, God, bless my work, bless my path, or God, how do I get on your path? Just a subtle tip. That said, second thing I want to share is that life is full of wrong turns and detours. Life is full of wrong turns and detours. Here's what happens. Jacob sends Joseph to go check on his brothers. His brothers, most of them have been out and they've got the sheep and they're basically tending to their sheep and they're looking for land and pasture land, yada, yada, yada. Well, he sends Joseph to go check on them, right? And come back and give a report how they're doing. While he's heading out to find them, he can't find them, and he runs into a guy who says, this is the way they went. So then he, you know, follows the path. He finally runs into him, and here's what happens, verse 18. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, now Reuben's the firstborn, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to their father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Now when Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother, our own flesh, and his brothers listened to him. So I want you just to imagine how this went down. Joseph is simply, 17 years old. He's going to check up on his brothers, which is what his dad told him to do. He comes up and they're so angry at him. They're so hateful and spiteful towards him because he's been the chosen one. And he's had these dreams. They're like, let's kill him. We'll see what happens with his dreams when he dies, right? And they'll die with him. And they're doing this whole conspiracy. Reuben steps up and says, you know what? Let's just put him down here. And Reuben's thinking, I'm going to go get him and take him back, right? When no one's looking. But that's not what happened. Reuben's probably off tending the sheep and they're sitting down for lunch. And as they're sitting down for lunch, it introduces Judah into this part of the storyline. Judah comes up with this idea. He sees the traders coming down and says, you know what? Let's sell him to those guys as a slave. Let's make money on this. And so, that way his blood won't be on our hands, right? I mean, after all, he's our brother. Now, I want you to think about this. Judah didn't step up and say, you know what? Let's spare the poor kid. We've taught him a good lesson. He didn't say that. He's like, no, let's make money on this. I want you just to imagine that. I want you to see the contrast in these two boys right now. God has given a plan to Joseph and showed him, I'm with you and I'm going to raise you up in prominence at some point in your life. And to Judah knew who the God of his father was. And here he is doing the very thing he knew God wouldn't want. He's taking a wrong turn. He is doing this on purpose. And he's now, like, if the police came, he's guilty of assaulting his brother. He stole his robe, that's theft. He has kidnapped him by throwing him in a pit against his will. And now he's guilty of human trafficking. I mean, this is a serious misstep, this guy Judah. I bring it up because even though you and I may not identify with that particular storyline, the reality is that every one of us are going to have a life full of wrong turns and detours. Sometimes, you know, we're just off course. We make a misstep and life happens to us. And sometimes we're the ones who step off course by doing the very things we know God would not want us to do. We create the mess sometimes that we find ourselves in, and sometimes the mess happens to us. That's going to happen to everybody. And the reality is it doesn't matter where you're at in faith. If you're kind of young in your faith or you've been following God a long time, there are just times that life happens. And those are the times we start to question, God, where are you? But this is a reality that in a lot of cases, Judah, he's making a bad decision. He's going in a wrong direction on purpose. Sometimes we do that even without knowing it. I want to share a story with you. I love doing baptisms. You know, it is one of the highlights of what we get to do every year is that when people come to faith, when they hear the gospel and they make a decision to follow Christ, the next step of obedience in following Christ is to get baptized. It's a symbol of, what it's like to identify with Christ, the death. You're dying to yourself. You're going down in the water. The water is kind of representative of the blood of Christ that washes away your sin. And you come up out of the water, a new creation in Christ. Well, anyway, I was doing this baptism with this guy, Mark, who gave his life to Christ in his mid-40s, and he's a big guy. He's like 6'3", and he's just a big fella. And I remember thinking, man, he is big and I'm not. Like, I thought when I lead him down into the water, I'm going to end up upside down in the pool with my legs flipping up. That's what I was thinking it was going to go down like. But here's the thing. I love Mark's story. He said something in my men's group a couple weeks ago that I want to share with you. You see, he's a guy that had heard the gospel when he was young. It's not like he didn't believe it. He heard it. He thought it was true. He just never made a decision to follow Christ. So he lived his life mostly for himself and, he was a good guy, but basically living life for himself. And it didn't hit him until later in his mid-40s when the gospel really made sense to him that God really did love him, but that his decisions, his sin life had moved him away from God, and that separation needed to be filled somehow, and it is Christ who came down and filled that separation by dying on the cross and paying the penalty for sin. And because Christ is alive, that Mark had a chance to come to faith by following Christ, and that could make him right with the Father, that step of faith. And he made that decision. And because of that, it changed his life. And so we were asking him in the men's group because he has a particular story where he knows what it's like to live his life without Christ, for a long time. And he now is experiencing this life of peace and joy that he's never experienced before. And so we asked him, Mark, what was it like? What was it like for you? He goes, you know what it was like? He said, it was like being in a dark room trying to reach for something, but not knowing what you're reaching for. I said, what do you mean? It's like in his life, he spent his life trying to find the thing that he thought was going to fulfill him, try to find a thing that he thought was the right direction for his life. But every time he got there, it wasn't the right thing. So he would just reach for something else. He would go in another direction. Now he would say that there's a peace in his life because he's found the very thing that God has designed him to find, which is Christ, this peace in Christ. I find that interesting as he said it because I realize that in a lot of ways, this is what causes our missteps and wrong turns. That unwittingly, we follow these desires that we have that we think, man, this is going to make me happy. This is going to fulfill me. And oftentimes, they lead us really away from God. And we're all going to do that at different times. Who hasn't had a step in their life where they look back and think, man, how did I get here? And where do I go? Well, here's the thing. And this is the last point I want to share, is that God's plan cannot be derailed. You see, God is sovereign. And I want you to read this next verse. Verse 28, it says, the Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. You know, the guys, here's what's going to happen. They end up going home, and they come up with some story, and they tell their dad that their brother was killed by a wild animal and died. So they lied to their dad, and their dad was devastated. But look at the last verse in the chapter, in verse 36. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. I mean, in all of this, God had given Joseph these dreams to let him know, I'm with you. I have a plan for your life. But in these circumstances, Joseph must feel like, well, the circumstances don't equal to the promise. He must be thinking, where did you go, God? What about all that dream you gave me, right? But remember when he was out trying to look for his brothers, it just so happened there was a guy there who knew where the brothers were, say, hey, go this way. Almost as if God planted a guy there to make sure Joseph got there. And then when he gets there, he's getting ready to be killed and he ends up, getting sold to slaves. It says, it just so happens, these slave traders were going to Egypt. And where did they end up? They end up in Egypt and they sell him to Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. And fast forward, if you're not familiar with the story, here's what happens. God does some incredible things through Joseph's life. He ends up becoming like the chief of all of Potiphar's stuff. And Potiphar, was connected to Pharaoh. And through just incredible circumstances, he ends up in kind of the jail of the royal jail. And he's taking care of all of the royal, prisoners and everything that happens there. So he's learning how to manage things and he's learning how to take care of things. And he continues to honor God with his life. And through some incredible circumstances, here's what happens. He ends up being connected to Pharaoh because Pharaoh had a dream that he couldn't interpret. But Joseph could through the help of God. And because of that, Pharaoh puts him in charge of all of Egypt. And because God's dream was basically a foretelling that there was going to be this large famine that was going to affect all of Egypt, they were able to figure out a way to gain crops in enough ahead of time to withstand the entire famine. On top of that, they saved the people of Egypt and they ended up saving the very family of Joseph. All of the brothers ended up being spared because they needed food. They end up going down to Joseph. And you know what ends up happening? They end up coming down to Egypt. They live in Egypt and they're able to prosper. And for a generation, his family is able to grow and prosper. And they have more and more offspring. And eventually they grow to so many people in Egypt. A new Pharaoh who knew nothing of Joseph basically put them in enslavement for 400 years. Generation after generation, they were oppressed. But in that time, they grew in number. They grew in such a way that when God sent Moses to deliver them out of Egypt to go into the promised land eventually, now they had a vast just nation of people. And they were given wealth by the Egyptians because they just wanted to get rid of them. The very thing that God promised happened. Just so happened that these traitors were going to Egypt. Just so happened that it was one of Pharaoh's guards that got them. Isn't that interesting? The missteps and the wrong turns, no matter what happened, God's plan will not be derailed. That's a reality for you and I in life, that no matter where we're heading, that God can use our life no matter where we're at. No one is too far from God. So if you're thinking, yeah, but Ed, you don't know my life. You don't know how many wrong turns I've made on purpose. I hear you. And if you're thinking, yeah, but I've had people do wrong to me. I'm the one who's been detoured off the plan. Mess has happened to me. I hear you there too. Here's what I can say. God won't waste any bit of it. In the same way he didn't waste it in Joseph's life, he won't waste it in your life. But God's plan for your life that is absolutely clear is that you would draw near to him. Jesus said that anyone who is weary, come to me. His plan for your life, his yoke, his burden is really a light one, but he wants you to follow him. The book of James says that if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Can I tell you, I was thinking about this story. When we were getting ready to launch the Westerville campus, God had done some amazing things just to remind me and let me know that he was with me. And I felt like God put it on my heart that we were going to go into Westerville with the very purpose of sharing the gospel with the people in the community and beyond. That there was a purpose in us being here. And I'll never forget, this is a picture from our first service in Westerville. I think what I like about the picture is, if you look, there's a black drape in the background. But somehow the light in the back of that black drape shined through that drape in the shape of a cross. And it's just a reminder to me as God was letting me know that the cross is the banner over top of this church. We don't have to come up with a way to become slick or, to be really strategic. We want to be smart, but our dependence is on Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. That's what drives us in our plan to reach the community. Well, we started to have a lot of people show up and come to the church and we're growing and growing and growing and we're thinking, man, we've got to find a permanent location. We've got to find a way to sink some roots down in Westerville. But then the pandemic hit. And I got to be honest with you, I was terrified. I thought, what are we going to do now, God? I mean, we got kicked out of the school. We were begging churches just to rent space, to find a place to gather our people again. And we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, how many of our people are still with us? And, you know, what's going to happen? And yet it was at that time that there was another church here in Westerville, the American Baptist Church. And they were at a point where they were at the end of their life cycle. They had been ministering in the community for decades, but they kind of hit the end of their run and they were struggling and they really needed to move on. And here's what happened. The pandemic was kind of like that final sign to them that it was time to sell the building. And here's the thing, they were looking for a church to sell it to. They didn't want to just send it off to anywhere, to some developer. They wanted a church with a gospel heart to come into the community. Do you see how it works? In the midst of that time, I'm thinking, God, where are you? If you've called us to be here, you've called us to reach the community. Now we don't even have a place to meet. We can't go back to the school and there's no place. What are you going to do, God? And God used the pandemic and all the situations and circumstances to put us right where he wanted us to be. And now we're in a place that, you know, we could do two or three services right here in Westerville, have plenty of space, even when the pandemic is up. We're on 4.2 acres of land that we can grow in our community. But I know what it's like, because in the same moments, even with the faith that I have, I was struggling thinking, God, are we off course? God, did this detour, did this happen to us? God, where are you? But God can use the detours to get you to the right place. Let me tell you what that means for you and I, that no matter where you're at, God has a plan for your life. And I may not know the details personally. I may not know the exact course of your steps and where God's taken you, but I know this for sure, that God's plan for your life is that you would draw near to him. And you might be thinking, well, I'm too far gone. You're not too far gone. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin so that you could be made right with the Father, that you could draw near to God, to be his child, to be boldly in the family of God, that you can go to your Father anytime you want in relationship. That is part of the plan. If you're listening in and you've never made the decision to follow Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in a minute to do just that. But for many of us, the reality is that we've gone off course either by life happening to us or us making bad decisions. It's the same plan for us, is that we draw near to God. What I'm going to challenge you with today is to pray and say, God, help me to see your plan. Help me to draw near and help me to take steps towards you. That's what we need to do. Let's pray. Take a second and just wherever you're at, talk to God. And if maybe that is something that you identify with, that you feel like you're a believer, but you've taken some wrong steps, just talk to God and tell him, God, I may be one of those people that feel a little bit lost right now. Help me to see your path. Help me to take steps towards you today. God, please accept my faith. Help me to step towards you. If you're listening and you've never made the decision to follow Christ, it starts with drawing near to God by admitting to God, God, I believe in you. I believe that you sent your son to die on a cross. I believe that he was buried and he rose again. And what you say to Jesus, say, Jesus, will you please forgive me of my sin? I want to turn my life towards you. Help me to follow you. Please forgive my sin. You need to know that when you make that turn towards God, he meets you right where you're at. He will draw near to you. He will forgive your sins. Let me just pray for us. God, I pray that for all of us who are listening in and participating in this online connection today, God, I pray that you would draw us near to you. God, for those who are taking first-time steps, God, I pray you would meet them right where they're at and help them grow in their faith. God, for people like me who sometimes find themselves wondering, where are you? God, I pray you teach us about faith to lean into you in the midst of any circumstance. God, use our life. Get us to where you want us to be. We ask that in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Listen, thank you so much for listening in today. I want to say that if you're listening on social media, hit the like button or maybe share button so that other people can hear about what's going on at LifePoint. I want to say that for all of those who are members and regular attenders of our church, thank you for your generosity. Because of that, we've been able to continue not only operating, but also to continue supporting our prayer partners and ministry partners, not only here, but around the globe. Thank you for that. There are different ways that you can give. You can see that scrolling by on your screen. For those who are listening in for the first time, I just want to remind you to go to that Guest Connect card and let us know that you are here today and listening in. Let us know how you heard about LifePoint. It's very valuable information to us. And if you made a first-time decision today, let us know that too, and we'll send you a book called Your Next 30 Days, which is a free book that will just allow us to help you take next steps in your journey with Christ. Thank you so much for participating and listening in today. God bless you guys. Till next week.